All right. Thank you very much. I'll see you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Goat, goat, goat,
Goat.
What
goat,
was
goat.
that?
Absolute goat.
Who are you? What were you calling? What were you doing?
He's calling an Indian grocery store looking for saber powder.
Was this planned? Did you have a plan? Where are you guys getting this yangling? What is happening?
They're saying, folks, it's absolutely and utterly fucking over. Welcome to Guerrilla Radio Show, episode 98?
Six! 96!
96, everyone. That is also 69 reversed. Welcome to yet another awesome episode of your favorite fucking podcast.
It's 69 when you guys don't really fuck with each other that much.
It's your favorite podcast with your favorite three boys and theys. You got me here, as always. I'm Greg. We got the twink over there. That's Austin. And we have our beautiful baby right in front in the middle, at least for me, Chandran. Why don't you guys say
baby.
Hello?
Hey. I'm yeah. You
I
know
do,
me
I do want to acknowledge Austin's bit. I'm imagining 6 and 9, like, after an argument, like, laying back to back, like, they're not even talking. You
know? Thank you. Thank you. I was hoping
that
was
good.
That would get in there. Okay.
And you know what, folks? I had to look this up and look through the episodes. For the sixth time on this podcast's history, I am not employed.
Woo!
I can say nothing else, though, now. My legal counsel has advised me to say nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta keep that one close to the chest, as they say.
I'll let y'all know. One day I'm gonna show up fucking grilling.
I got the fucking iced out. Yeah, I got
they
the
gonna
Rolex.
Give me, I'm gonna get
the bust down
Keanu. I'm gonna get $2,000. I'll spend all of it on a grill just to do that bit. All right, I need another beer.
I would love
I
a grill.
That one. So
well, wait,
just start the episode. No,
okay.
Bye. I'll be back.
I still have no beer in my house, but welcome
I
to episode
no
96.
I'm a gigantic pussy baby boy.
It's like you don't even want to be an alcoholic, Austin.
I kind of don't.
You have nothing to live for. Start drinking.
I don't quite concur with
they
his
canceled
analysis.
My car insurance and then reinstated it at a higher rate today.
For
I didn't know they were allowed
to. Losing a single tire? That's kind of crazy.
I no, it was unrelated to that. They, I don't.
Chandran,
it's a long story.
Are you claiming flat tires when you on your insurance?
No, I don't know why they did that. I guess the auto pay didn't go through, and they didn't send me any emails warning me.
Oh,
it's okay. I've been paying $54 a month for my car insurance for the last 6 months, and
that's
the bill.
Not legal.
Well, the bill that I got this month is $275. So.
Time to cancel it, honestly. Don't pay that shit.
Loki, I don't care what happens anymore.
So
that's a good approach to have, honestly.
Loki, none of
World
this
War
matters.
III could happen at any moment.
No, it's not gonna, because the president said, I think we've won already.
You did say that.
Masterful gambit, sir. Hand all of the Gulf states over to the House of Saud and just leave it at that and do nothing else. Sounds great, brother. Okay, so we're going to play it a bit loose and fast this episode, as we're wont to do. You know how we are on here. But actually, the opposite of that is true for what I'm about to say. This is actually quite sad. Pockets Warhol died. The monkey Pockets Warhol.
Which is really
do you guys remember?
Fucked up.
Can we
you remember
a,
this guy?
Like a 21, guns. What the fuck is that thing called? 21 gun salute, 21 shot one?
Yeah.
You want me to play
Start,
21 guns?
Wherever you are, go outside and fire off like 7 shots for.
Get
for
outside
punch.
Right
Not
now
punch.
And
Pocket
play
Warhol.
21 Party guns Warhol. By Green.
Yes!
Day.
Yes!
Pull it out the bag.
Okay. To no. be fair, I thought you were going to grab the actual gun. Not just the bag. I still need to get back.
I mean, the gun is in there.
You don't need a bag for the gun chandra.
Why is it so liberal
bullshit? Why is it so flaccid? I don't know. It's not long enough. I don't know. Oh. I didn't get the right bag.
Clip it.
Okay. So, this article's from the Toronto Sun. This seemed to be the best article I could find about it that wasn't from, like, Hindustan Times again.
What's wrong with the Hindustan Times? We're always talking shit about
the Hindustan Times.
What are you saying? Oh, the Toronto Sun is so much fucking, more trustworthy.
There's probably more fucking Indians. There's probably more Indians in fucking Toronto.
Yeah, you know how I know? My fucking cousins are in Toronto.
How you gonna leave your moms in Mumbai, man? You gotta take her out of Mumbai, dog.
If the business is true that you left your moms in Mumbai, you make me sick to my stomach, fam.
You gotta get your moms out of Delhi, man. Come on, dude. You gotta get her here to Toronto. We got that Timmy H. Come on, bro. Me and all the fam work at 7-Eleven. Come on, dog.
Okay, no, let's be serious for a second. Pockets Warhol, the funny little cute little capuchin monkey, has died, though.
Which is fucked up. I have to reiterate how upset I am actually about this.
Yeah, so apparently, he died peacefully at the Ontario, Storybook Farm Primate Sanctuary in Sunderland, Ontario. So, actually, I don't know if they're going to go over this in the article, but I just need to point out that the subheading does say, Martin Gore of Depeche Mode purchased 8 of Pockets' paintings to use as art on his solo album, which...
Yet again, I have to say, Depeche Mode is one of the greatest fucking musical ensembles of all time.
That's what they're saying.
It's honestly, it's part of my policy of truth.
That is true. You've said the actual truth.
Thank you for at least responding to that joke. It does say at the bottom of this article that Pockets had a fucking stroke. Policy of Truth is a Depeche Mode song.
Oh, see, I don't be listening to Depeche Mode like that.
Why aren't you listening to Depeche Mode? What's wrong with you?
I never really got on that way.
You have to go and stream Depeche Mode right now in Pockets' honor.
I want to go stream the album of that Depeche Mode guy who went solo, and I'm going to stream that album. That's the only Depeche Mode I've ever listened to.
Austin didn't notice my new slutty glasses, and I'm kind of upset about it.
Oh, those are new glasses. Something registered slutty mentally, but I kept it inside of me.
Oh, yeah. This time Greg's glasses aren't broken at fucking half for the first time in 3 months.
Oh, how about your glasses, Austin? Are they still broken?
No, they put new little nose pads on it, but they used like Amazon Basics nose pads.
Wait, do you have nose pads on yours, Chandra?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, I got like the ones that like, you know, they're built onto the frame.
My nose is too big and round.
Those schnozzes.
Yeah, I got a schnoz. I can't do that.
Man, do I look like, is this what I look like?
Okay.
This is what I look like to other people. Dude, am I ugly, dog?
Glasses help.
They do. A lot.
Pockets Warhol, a capuchin monkey that helped raise hundreds of thousands of dollars through its talents for abstract painting, has died. The monkey, which gained international recognition for its painting skills, a talent found shortly after he arrived at the Storybook Farm Primate Sanctuary in Sunderland, died on Monday, just shy of his 34th birthday, which is, that's like a pretty decent age for a capuchin monkey.
He got old as fuck. I wish I could die at 34. That'd be great. I'd love to make it that far.
Charmaine Quinn, his caretaker on Facebook, wrote, "It is with profound sadness to say farewell to Sweet Pockets, who has passed away just short of his 34th birthday at his sanctuary home. Pockets was a shining light for so many with his gentle smile, funny character, and his love of painting, which endeared him to so many across the globe. Thank you all of the beautiful humans who cared about him and followed his daily life at the place where he was safe and loved." They also tweeted on their account like an extremely close-up picture of Pockets' face, and the caption was just "Promise to remember my smile" or something like that. It was like, oh my god!
I gotta tell you, his nipples way out in that picture.
Yeah, right.
Capuchins get a little freaky with it sometimes.
Can we just have a moment about the Toronto Sun real quick.
Nipple clamps.
Okay.
I'm looking at the article with you guys. I don't know what you're getting, but in the bottom right corner of my screen is a live feed of like Tehran burning, and above that is an ad that says "Get the strongest body of your life. Click here." And that's the only other ad blocker, thing on my screen.
But I have AdBlock
too. For some reason, this is on the screen.
I don't see. Hey,
I'm seeing an article
body,
about the Buffalo Sabres as well.
That's because cool. You're always Googling.
Yeah, they got your ass.
Suck.
Yeah, no, this is actually Buffalo. I see the Sabres too. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's because Toronto is very close to Buffalo, and nobody likes the Maple Leafs. So, monkey presented with paint, comma canvas. Pockets was originally from British Columbia, where he had been someone's pet. World-renowned primatologist Jane Goodall was contacted by the owner after they couldn't handle the responsibility of the capuchin, in many cases. Goodall recommended the Storybook Farm Primate Sanctuary. She definitely just, like, Googled that. She was just like, sanctuaries near Toronto.
She's doing the Chomsky thing where, like, he's just probably Googling the answer to the thing people are asking him.
Chomsky GPT.
Chomsky, what were you doing on the island?
ChatGPT tells me that it's unclear.
There's no conclusive evidence one way or the other.
Oh yeah, that's his little smile. Do you see his smile? He does have a pleasant smile.
He does have a pleasant little smile. He's a nice guy. I think the world has truly lost a bright spot.
Honestly, like a star has blinked out in our night sky.
Yeah. God, man. The sanctuary's executive director, Dana Liepa? Lipa? I don't know. Said Quinn added Warhol to Pocket's name due to his tuft of white hair. The monkey grew into his new name after he was given paint and a canvas. She started the process to see if he was interested, and he really took to it and did it on his own terms when he was interested in doing it. We always had to make a quiet zone for him, for the artist to work.
He needed his space.
I think this is a good case study in, like, can monkeys have autism?
It's entirely possible. Are you saying he looks autistic, or that his behavior is autistic?
I'm saying that his behavior is autistic.
I'm saying he looks autistic.
His smile is a little too genuine.
Yeah.
Man, this is my third beer of the day, and I have had no food.
Oh, man.
I'm feeling fucking
You're taking unemployment A1 very well, right. I see.
I'm not. This is probably the best I've ever handled it, but, like, I walked 3 miles today. I'm a handyman now, and I'll give a handy to a
You're
man
like a wandering
for the same hourly rate.
What is your hourly rate? What are you charging?
$60 an hour, but 20% off on the first visit, 10% off on the second if you give me a review on Nextdoor, Facebook, or Google.
Oh, whoa. Hmm. It's marketing, huh? Look
at that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I need a handyman in the greater Asheville area. I'm your guy. Call my phone number directly, which I will not be saying out loud.
What are you going to do if, like, someone has a problem and you can't fix it? Are you going to run?
I'm going to tell them my schedule is too busy. I asked my dad about this today. I was like, because he thinks it's a good idea, but I was like, what do I do if I encounter something I absolutely couldn't do? He was like, just tell them that you're too busy to take it on. I went, that's a good idea.
Awesome. That's like real money moves. That's real baller shit.
That's how,
like,
you
if
know.
Somebody's like, I need you to replace an entire bathtub, I'll be like, sorry, I'm too busy for that.
And you know what? You are too busy for that. You shouldn't be asking a handyman to do that.
Exactly. Like, I could do that, but I don't think I could do a good job.
Pockets' artistic talents garnered international attention, and the sanctuary started auctioning off his works to help raise funds for the nonprofit, as well as other animal organizations. Lipa said over the years, Pockets' paintings raised $200,000. One of Pockets' most well-known paintings is Wear Yellow for Seth, an artwork created for a sick 5-year-old British boy who started a campaign asking people to wear yellow to cheer him up.
Mm.
Okay, and they're...
I would never do anything for anybody British.
This
I think he probably died, Loki.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up. Not to wish death on anybody, but...
Well, what if he's just, like, regular sick? Like, he had, like, the flu or something?
Well, everything about Seth is in the past tense, so...
Oh.
Also, Seth was one of the... It was a bubble boy.
Yeah, he sure did.
I think...
Yeah.
He's fine. He got a bone marrow implant.
Oh, he's fine.
He's fine.
Seth is fine. Yeah, it worked. We wore yellow.
Beautiful.
Mission accomplished.
Here we go. ABC 11, Raleigh, Durham.
Oh, is he in North Carolina? No, that's a British boy. I'm sorry.
He's got a crazy little pot belly on this little fucking kid.
Martin Gore, yeah, he used the paintings for his solo album. Wait, hold on. His album was called The Third Chimpanzee?
Who's that?
It's the Depeche Mode album.
Wait, what? Okay, The Third Chimpanzee is book by Jared Diamond, also... Wait, what the fuck? Depeche Mode.
He's got an EP called The Third Chimpanzee.
Okay, it's also the name of an EP.
Yeah, it's the name. Yeah.
What an interesting thing to say and do. Okay.
Well, each song on the thing is named after a primate. There's five tracks on the EP: Howler, Mandrill, Capuchin, Vervet, and Howler's End.
Why does the howler die?
You gotta listen to the album to find out.
This is Vervet.
Hold on.
Ooh. Also, Here's the picture. Here's the painting.
It's pretty nice.
It kind of goes.
And it fucking... There we go.
I can't believe I never knew about this.
If you keep playing that, this episode will not be able to go up.
Yeah, I can't believe I've never heard of the Monkey album before.
It's from 2021.
Oh, we can't say that. The studio it was released under was called Electric Ladyboy.
Oh, perfect.
You can't be naming your studio that, Martin Gore.
How perfect. Well,
you
he's
don't,
British.
You don't know what.
He Do was, you know what the British 80s. Call meatballs?
What are they
probably the F slur.
It is the F slur. Why are so many things on that island called the F slur?
They made that shit there. Up. They just wanted an excuse to say it.
So should we like buy a Pockets Warhol painting? There's two left.
How much
are they?
The first one that looks like he just used poop is $900 Canadian dollars. Canadian dollars, so not real money. And this other one that actually looks kind of cute, it's called Tibetan Lakes. That one's $850 Canadian dollars.
So that's like fake money, but also almost exactly the same as our money. So that's probably about $850.
Canadian dollars.
Yeah, I don't think we have the money. We could save up the pod
Canadian
money for
dollars
a couple
are really,
months.
Really close to US dollars.
Like 2 months.
Value, like.
Are they really? I thought they were way weaker.
Did you think they had worthless money? Our money spends better there, but not.
Yeah, no, that's only $600 of our money. $800, $850 there is $600.
I don't have $600. I don't have a job.
I could put it on a credit card, maybe.
I don't even know if I got enough credit for that.
I just really quickly, I want to go over Martin Gore's artistic process for this album. He put out a statement saying the first track I recorded had a sound that wasn't human. It sounded almost primate-like, so I decided to name it Howler after a monkey. Then when it came time to name the EP, I remembered reading the book The Rise and Fall of the Third Chimpanzee. It all made sense to call it that, as the EP was made by one of the third chimpanzees. So he was thinking about monkeys and just started naming his songs after different kinds of monkeys that he could think of.
That's a totally understandable move to make, I think.
Hold on. This review describes the Monkey album as the mood is feral and erotic, yet curiously comfortable, as if Gore discovered his old bondage gear in the back of a closet and found that it still fits.
We gotta kill music reviewers. I will say, I was listening to Vervet, and I was like, you know what, I could eat pussy to this, but like, I would never say that in a music
yeah,
review.
Yeah, you know, maybe it's good fuck music. We'll have to try it sometime.
I'm just gonna say that Howler is not good fuck music, and the sound that he's talking about kind of just sounds bad. but I will say that this one, I like this painting a lot.
Yeah, there's the EP and like a bunch of remixes. So there's two Pockets Warhol pictures that he's using.
Why was that like a car passing by?
No, that was the beginning of Howler's End.
The Howler's
getting hit by a truck.
It's abstract, darling.
They changed the Pockets Warhol darling. Wikipedia page to be in past tense already. No!
Dude, those Wikipedia editors do not waste any fucking time.
They got his ass.
Okay, so I'm trying to see if there's any little nuggets of gold in this Wikipedia article that we haven't covered yet. Let's see.
I saw a thing here about the sanctuary sent paintings by Pockets to Ricky Gervais and Jane Fallon. I think, is that, I don't know who, oh, it's Ricky Gervais' wife. As a thank
He's
you
married?
For his support. For
Will Ferrell also? Right? I guess?
Will
Ferrell signed one of his artwork. It seems weird to
why
have.
Would you sign
why would Will
artwork?
Ferrell be signing this monkey's artwork? That seems
you didn't
strange.
You fucking make that shit.
Yeah. Gervais tweeted that he was donating an acoustic guitar to the sanctuary with mention of Pockets Warhol. This is the tweet here. It says, "Just sign my Toronto guitar and we'll donate to the lovely local charity." Oh yeah, no, that's all he said. Yeah. Okay.
Can you believe they killed Pockets?
They no. got Pockets. They ran his pockets.
Well, maybe they got they ran his pockets. They gave Jane Goodall a painting of Pockets for her birthday.
Fuck, man, why don't they give us a painting of Pockets? We're notable primate, you know, influencers.
We should email them and ask.
We're
like
the
pretty
only
please.
Fucking primate influencers, if we really think about it.
We get no fucking respect for
we
all.
We get
the
no
hard
respect
work
around.
It's
you.
Because Austin refuses to let us take the fucking brand deals.
We aren't getting real brand deals. I don't think.
I
don't
will
think those
take
are real.
The fake ones. I will sell kratom. I will sell condoms. I will sell fucking dick pills. I don't care.
You gotta start somewhere.
I feel like most of our emails are things that people are trying to sell us, not for us to sell to you guys.
That's fine. And then we'll sell it back to our listener base, and that's how we create an inverse funnel.
Yeah, that's going to bring in the money.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, so Pockets Warhol is not to be confused with Pierre Bresso, the hilarious prank that is archived on hoaxes.org, the Museum of Hoaxes.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess
this
it's
is
worth
monkey
just
monkey we talked about.
Yeah, we did talk about this monkey before.
We've talked about this before.
It's worth talking about again because that was like 100 episodes ago, though.
Literally.
So,
well, not literally because we haven't hit 100 yet.
Almost literally. Almost in February literally. 1964, four paintings by a previously unknown avant-garde French artist named Pierre Bresso were exhibited at an art show in Göteborg, Sweden. That's how you say that. Also at the show were works by artists from England, Denmark, Austria, blah, 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 blah. It was the works of the French artists that attracted all of the attention. Art critics, journalists, and students, glasses of wine in hand, silently contemplated Bresso's creations. Their praise was almost unanimous. Rolf Anderberg of the Morning Posten later wrote that most of the works at the show were ponderous, but not those of Bresso. Pierre Bresso paints with powerful strokes, but also with clear determination. Mm. His brush strokes twist with furious fastidiousness. Pierre is an artist who performs with the delicacy of a ballet dancer. Only one lone critic panned Bresso's work, declaring, "Only an ape could have done this."
There's no way he actually said that, though.
Yeah,
right? Like, that's gotta be like...
I feel... I had this feeling while I was reading it, too. Is... Like, did they just, like, make half of this shit up for this hoaxes.org website?
It That's what like I was thinking. Did. I was, like, because
there's, like,
in...
there's no way, right?
Well, let's, you know,
unless, like, they were also in on the bit and just took it to the grave.
What could some of the other things be going on the hoax blog? The Peanut Butter and Mayonnaise Panic of 1969. Artificially Dirty Eggs.
Okay.
Muhammad Ali Underwater Training Hoax.
Oh.
I mean, he's got a Wikipedia article. I don't see any indication that this could be, like, made up entirely, right? I don't know. After Axelson revealed the hoax, Rolf Anderberg, the critic who praised the work, insisted that Pierre's work was still the best painting in the exhibition, which is kind of, you know, that's kind of funny. You know what? Double down. You're right, man. A private collector bought one of Brasso's works for $90, which is about... Oh my God, wait, hold on. $90?
$600 fucking dollars.
That was in 2008 money. Money is worth way less now. That's like over $1,000, I think.
Hold on. I got you. It was $60 in what year?
Oh, sorry. It says it in the article. It's like $800.
No. That's a 2008. It. So it was $60 in what year, Austin? It's 1960.
$90 in 1964.
$90 in 1964. He's just shy of $1,000.
$1,000.
No, yeah, this thing's got like references and sources, but most of them are in a language I can't read. So,
English?
No, Swedish. Like Swedish.
And French, yeah.
Oh, and German newspapers.
I think one of my favorite parts about this, about the Pierre Brasso story, is that. So, did we get to the perpetrator of the hoax yet? Did we talk about this guy?
Sorry, I kind of skipped over that, but it was
Let me read this real quick.
Yeah, okay, go
so,
ahead.
Pierre Brasso was the invention of Ake Dake Axelsson, some fucking Swedish guy.
Some
they don't
fucking
have real names.
Freak.
A journalist David at the Göteborgs.
Some Jakubian specimen.
On. A journalist at the Göteborgs Tidningen, one of Göteborgs daily. Tidningen.
They're making shit up out there.
They sound like the Swedish chef.
The Swedish chef is speaking Swedish. He's totally intelligible to all people of those fucking peninsulas.
Exactly.
He came up with the idea of exhibiting the work of a monkey in an art show as a way of putting critics to the test. Would they be able to tell the difference between modern art and monkey art? Okay. Sure, whatever. So Axelsson persuaded Peter's 17-year-old keeper. He just walks up to this 17-year-old.
You're getting like a teenager access to the chimpanzee enclosure.
You know what's even better? Yeah, Austin.
Sole responsibility
of
this
chimp. Austin, if you had been born like, 65 years ago, you could have been the chimpanzee keeper by just being a guy hired off the street.
You could be like a world-renowned primatologist.
You could have just been a 17-year-old, like, off the street, and they would have been like, all right, write the book.
So, Axelsson persuaded Peter's 17-year-old keeper to give the chimpanzee a brush and oil paints. Initially, Peter preferred eating the paint to placing it on a canvas.
And this was lead paint, too.
Yeah,
it was
sorry.
The 60s.
Initially, Peter preferred... for some reason, I thought Peter was the name of the keeper. I'm like, hold on, why is this
this 17-year-old kid just eating paint, not letting the monkey have it?
No, it's mine, dude. I like the paint. It's mine.
But okay. You got exactly my point, which is they just gave this chimp lead paint and let him eat it. Like, and I noticed this immediately because when I was reading over Pocket's Warhol, they said they specifically gave him kid-friendly, like, kid paint. So that when he, and there's a picture of Pocket's Warhol with blue paint all over his face because he'd been eating it, almost certainly.
almost certainly.
I had thought about that and was like, I wonder if monkeys like blue. Do they like eating blue things? Because Pocket's Warhol was also eating blue paint.
Huh.
I feel
there's something in the blue paint that they like.
Do we know
it could
what
be something about the
see?
Pigment that is like
that's
the specific
it
creation
says, it
process
says because of the tart flavor of the blue paint.
Hold on, I had to double
how
check
the fuck
this.
Would they know that are they that's not
well,
true
hold on,
I'm
hold
sure
on
someone tried it.
Okay, hold on a second. So another aspect to this is that Capuchins are all red green yeah. colorblind, I guess. Well, okay, this is actually interesting. All male New World monkeys are dichromatic, and females can be either dichromatic or trichromatic. That's I actually didn't know that. But Old World monkeys have full color vision. I don't know if that impacts the blue aspect at all, but, it's something to note.
That's so interesting. So what does blue look like to red-green blind folks?
Wouldn't it still just be blue? Or?
Blue is the color you see. Everything else is beige and gray.
I guess maybe it would be the most interesting color to Pockets then.
Do chimpanzees have color blindness at all or no?
No, I'm sure they can, but not typically, no.
Oh, okay. I guess a chimp and a capuchin are simply a little bit too different to make any extrapolations from this evidence here.
This one's actually fun. When painting, Peter always had a bunch of bananas close it. The monkey's real name was Peter, by the way. It's they called him Pierre to make him sound French.
Yep.
Because they knew that there was a bunch of like Anglophiles at this Swedish museum, probably. That was probably part of the prank.
I bet.
When painting, Peter always had a bunch of bananas close at hand. The rate at which he consumed them matched his level of creativity. That seems like a jump of logic, but during periods of great inspiration, he would eat as many as 9 bananas in 10 minutes. I think he was just hungry, man.
Yeah. Also, I do have to say, when I'm writing, the amount of cigarettes I can put back is crazy.
Yo. I want to just hop in here with something topical from today, because today is March 9th, 2026. Israel has been eliminated from the World Baseball Championship, and I want
by the Dominicans.
I want everybody to know that Fernando Tatis Jr. Baseball. Screamed "Free Gaza" as he hit a fucking grand slam bomb to seal the fucking
game. Yeah, awesome.
Israel eliminated, folks.
Israel has been eliminated.
Also, at the end of this hoaxes.org article, it says other monkey artists, they apparently did the same exact thing in 2005, but with Bongi, a 31-year-old female chimpanzee from Halle Zoo. When her error was revealed, Bongi apparently enjoyed painting, but most of her works were destroyed by her mate, Satcho. That's kind of fucked up.
That is kind of fucked up.
You can't do that, man.
I should start painting. Maybe I can make money like that.
Famously lucrative pastime is painting.
Famously lucrative thing to do is paint. And I think I could...
They call them starving artists because they're so hungry for new opportunities because there's just so many of them.
I got a painting on the wall. I want everybody to come tell me if they like the painting on the wall. I made a paint. Everybody saw my ass just now.
No, we didn't. It was just a little bit of lower back.
Look, I can paint. I did this.
Oh, that's pretty. That's kind of cute.
This.
I like that.
Do a little impressionism, all right? This is like my id, okay?
I call this one the swan.
This one is cum, all right? And then this is the sunset.
And that's the penis shooting out the cum.
It does look like a penis shooting out the cum.
Doesn't it? Does it? I think it's pretty good, though.
Your phallic images are going to really make you some money.
Yeah.
Look upside down. Let's see what looks upside down.
Greg is like, yeah, this is like a pure distillation of my ego, and he drew a penis shooting out cum.
Literally, that's like...
I normally hang it like this, because I think it's like, you know, the dark to light to dark. I liked it. I think I could make an okay fucking painter. You know what? Fuck everybody. Do art. Wear this cool Clemson jacket.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Have sex.
Wear sick-ass jackets and do art.
Along with Pierre Bresso, an early Guerrilla Radio show, I believe this also brought up the question of, can animals create art?
Well, we just saw Greg make some, so I guess so, yeah.
Hey, what do you mean by that?
I guess lower primates can create art.
I guess they can.
Hey! Sorry, I have to break up a cat fight. Keep going.
Okay, well... You know, again, I think I've said this before, but as with culture, I think art is a term we created to describe intentional acts of human creation. Mm-hmm. But also, you don't want to get into the weeds of what does and does not constitute art.
It's a wild goose chase.
I mean, just generally, you can't really define art, but this does still count as art in a sense. At least the Pierre Bresso instance is, if nothing else, performance art on behalf of the guy who did that to those people.
I think so, yeah. It's, you know, I mean, like, and it's, like, honestly, it's kind of tribe, you know? It's a trite performance art. We've been doing it, man.
It's
like,
quite,
he did it in the 60s.
It like, come on, man. It insists upon itself.
Urinal was the guy, like, it was in the 20s.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, okay. People were still trying to do, like, the abstract artist owned thing 40 years later. They were mad as hell.
It's derivative as fuck.
Yeah. So it's bad. So monkeys can make bad art.
I'll say Pierre Bresso or Mr. Peter made better art than that fucking Axel guy ever did.
See, I think if it's an insult, then you can concede that animals can make art.
Precisely.
You have to stay here because you can't behave. Hello. Mwah.
Hello. You also linked this video of Joel McHale.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Ahead. I don't want to rush through it too fast. We're only 36 minutes.
I did jump through something. Sorry.
But apologies. I want to talk for a second about how animal paintings are made, because they are pretty common now. Like, pretty much every little sanctuary and zoo does animal painting things.
Yeah, it turns out they started building art supply stores in Italy.
So, pretty much we missed the chance to do an Italian futurism joke. Fuck.
Hey,
we can still do it. So, pretty much all animal paintings sold at zoos is trained behavior or circumstantially captured. And what I mean by that is, for example, when I worked at the aquarium, we would use animal-safe paint, or I guess it's probably just the same child-safe paint that you can eat that they were given to the pockets. But what they would do is they would, like, set out a bunch of it on the ground and let the penguins walk through it, and they would lay canvases in front of the penguins so that they would step on the paint and then step on the canvas, and there'd be little penguin footprints and smears everywhere, and they would sell that as, "A penguin painted this."
Okay.
The penguins weren't even trained to do it. They were just straight up walking. But
I'm sorry about that noise. That was my dryer.
You can't be keeping the time. Regarding
the penguin paintings, they're cute and all. And part of what makes it art is, you know, you attach sentimental value to it by saying, like, oh, this is more special than just scribbles, because I know that an animal made it. It might not, like, then it is imbued with meaning by your human input. I think that makes it art.
Why not?
But
where is the, why was there not, you know, the word I'm looking for here? Why were you guys not giving paintbrushes to the seals?
Well, we did, but I'll get to that.
Okay, Mr. Man with a plan.
I do want to say, I don't want to dissuade anyone from buying penguin paintings from the aquarium or from the zoo or wherever you may be thinking about buying them. However, a good portion of the paint on those canvases was just actual shit. Like, because penguins are waddling around in their own shit all day. They
color
shit.
Is penguin shit?
White and green.
White and green.
So they would be swaddling around in it, and there'd just be poop chunks on this canvas, and we would still mixed with the paint, but we would still just set it and, like, sell it to people, like, give it to people. So we'd be giving people, like, poop. we're slinging poop. I got poop here. $20 a G.
You're slinging poop.
We're slinging poop. It's a, you know. The way we train the sea lions, I don't think we trained the seals to do it. I don't think the seals were particularly interested, or maybe just they don't like biting as much, perhaps, as sea lions do. But the sea lions, we trained them to bite down on this little foam handle that we sort of attached to a paintbrush. So essentially, when they bit down on it, the paintbrush would be sticking straight out, and it could have paint on it. And then we'd cue them to, like, move their head around, or they like to do this thing where they, like, if you've ever seen a video of a sea lion online,
stick
you've seen
your
them
tongue
do
out
it.
When you do that one next time.
Yeah.
No. So basically, we just cue them to do a little head movement while they had the paintbrush in their mouth, and it would circumstantially create some little splotches on the canvas. We do it a couple times, and we say, like, look, he painted a picture! Ooh. And then we'd, you know. That's how that happens. I also had, when I was working at that sketchier zoo as a young lad of 21 years old.
Oh, yeah, the fucking, in the cabin in Georgia?
No, this was before the cabin in Georgia. There's, like, very first real-life primate work experience. There was these little, like, fucking ferret. I think they were, like, Coati Mundis babies that were just born, and one of the other zookeepers who pulled a gun on us all at one point. I think I told that story. But he basically, like, just did the same thing. He dipped their feet in the paint and had them run across a little canvas, and, you know, they sold it in the gift shop.
Okay. I think I could train concrete paint, low-key.
I mean, you could. It's
you're not lost. You're not lost. I'm right here.
Dumbass.
Here
cat.
She comes. Here she comes. So it's, she was like, you're, you know, gone. I'm lost.
The animal painting industry is it's a classic money making ruse for zoos and sanctuaries. It's a simple operation. We take the canvas, we take the paint, we flip it, we make a profit.
Yeah.
It's clean. The money goes in and out. No one suspects a thing.
We should be doing that. Making,
I mean,
fake,
but people do willingly buy these paintings, though. I don't think me explaining this ruins the magic at all, because
no. And we could have Greg paint us something and sell it on the Gorilla Radio Show website as a chimpanzee
as an ape painting.
I'll see my own shit in it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Honestly, do we still have the Shopify open? We could do that, probably.
We don't,
it's not
but
open.
We could open it up.
But Jantone's got the login now, and I don't know if I remember.
Get a little Greg Dookie in your life.
Yeah. Yo,
speaking of which, really quickly, if you want to financially support us, we're going to do this in the middle of the episode this time.
Yeah,
go to
so gorillaradio.show
or just go to patreon.com/gorillaradioshow and give
Who
us money, please.
Please, God, please!
please!
I'm begging you! We have the money!
I don't think I'm ruining the magic by explaining animal paintings, because
I think you are. Mean, you're kind of fucking it up for me.
To be fair, there's no way.
I used to think that they were, like, you know, giving the animals the paint, and they were just, you know, fucking around with it.
I mean, that's what they're doing, essentially. It's just they have no interest in, like, picking
up
the paintbrush.
There's no way you could know that this is what was happening.
Like, you had no interest.
Did you think the monkey was fucking Picasso? Like, did you think
the
seal was like, I'm going
to paint something? No, not at all, but I thought it, I didn't think it was such a trained behavior. I thought it was like they give them paint and they smear shit because they intrinsically see beauty in the world and they like to go,
no, sorry, they don't really. I mean, kind of, because once they're trained to hold the thing in their mouth and they just do whatever the fuck, like, they can move their head however they want, I guess, but.
Well,
Pockets was just smearing shit with his hand around.
Yeah, I know this might be really difficult considering they live underwater. But, like, I feel like, what are they called? Cetaceans? Like dolphins and right whales and things like that? Like the smart mammals that swim.
Cephalopods, cetacean. Whatever, anyways.
But I think that they might be good at this because they're very intelligent and they might actually be able to abstract a little bit.
Ooh, octopus art. Octopus painting. He could paint he could use 8 brushes at the same time.
What if you gave an octopus 8 paintbrushes and it just created the Japanese hentai about octopuses?
Right off the bat. You write this speech bubble like, I want this. So, I don't think that the magic is necessary. Let me know if I ruin the magic for you and you're never going to buy an animal painting again.
Put your little bony fucking fingers down.
But I think the creation of a sort of transcendent artistic value is being transferred to the painting by virtue of you knowing that an animal physically did this.
Do you
feel
any fucking joy?
No.
Do you feel fucking joy? What is this conversation we're having?
I think they all suck. No, I'm saying that I think that people willingly buy these paintings because it's neat knowing that an animal did it, and that gives the painting value. That makes it art. I don't think the animal knows it's creating art at all.
I don't think the animal knows it's creating art either, but why are you... We've been doing this for 10 minutes. Why are you keep hammering home the fact that there is no magic left?
Because I'm trying to
world?
Get through this sentence and I keep getting sidetracked. Anyways, that kind of exercise becomes art itself, I think.
Okay.
Oh, that's what that reminded me of. Okay. So I think I may have said this before, but I had a professor who was at January 6th, and he dropped
in what capacity?
Can you hold the fucking phone? No, you haven't ever said this to us.
As like, you've never mentioned this.
No, and it's funnier because the way he dropped it on us is he didn't even think it was an unusual thing because he didn't think you would need to explain it until he realized how it sounded. He was just like, yeah, I was at January 6th and left the room. And then he came back. He was like, for the record, I was studying January 6th for a paper I was writing about the Trump administration. And we were like, okay. So because he was on the ground, like, making anthropological observations and, like, looking at shit on the ground to write about. The Smithsonian actually reached out to him and asked, did you save any artifacts from January 6th? Do you have, like, MAGA hats and Trump flags from the event itself that we can display in our museum? And he was like, no, why would I do? You can buy a MAGA hat online. There's no magical property transferred to these objects by virtue of them having been.
You people have no
sense
of magic in your minds. Huh?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Anthropologists are very literal like this, where they're like, magic isn't real. It doesn't matter. You can buy it on Amazon.
Is the problem.
But he was like so adamant. He was like, there's no magical property transferred to an object by virtue of it being in a particular location.
He's probably walking around with a necklace made out of the shell casing that killed Ashley Babbitt.
Yes, dude. That would give you like power, I think. Like
what power?
People would
the
feel
power
your
to get
aura.
Fucking killed for nothing.
People would get feel your aura when you walked into the room. They would grow silent at your arrival.
You have the ghost of Ashley following
the
you
fucking
around.
Chud Slayer.
It's Austin the Chud Slayer.
A hush falls over the room.
Like, oh my god, guys.
That's the Chud Slayer.
Chud Slayer.
But yeah, I fear I've been inflicted with the same disease because it's like, I mean, you really can logic yourself
birth.
Out of all fun in life. So, you know, careful, kids.
You've had this your whole life, haven't you?
Maybe. I honestly, like,
where is
I think
your
I,
whimsy? Where is your
I think
sparkle?
I became an atheist when I was 12 years old and I Googled, like, how did God create the universe? And I saw, like, a YouTube video, like, we actually don't know. And I was like, oh, well, I guess that's not true then.
God, you suck so much. You know what I've noticed about my mood stabilizers, folks? Is that as they kick in, I'm losing my sparkle. And I
How?
Think my sparkle.
You're not
here.
Are you allowed
Everyone
to be drinking?
Everyone says they're
mood
losing their sparkle until they realize.
I just can't have the. I just can't take my sleepy time.
No, hold on. You want to know who else said they were losing their sparkle when they took their meds, Craig?
Who? Well, I'm gonna keep taking them because it's making me normal.
Every princess in the whole world says this.
But I will say, here's the thing with the mood stabilizers, to answer your question, Chandran, is now I'm not allowed to take my Valium when I go to sleep. And I am what you may call a three-beer princess. Any more than three beers,
yes!
And I can't drive anymore.
Really?
Sweet. Yeah, it makes you a crazy lightweight. Like, I feel it right now. I've had two.
I'm a two-beer guy. I'm a two-beer guy.
Not,
I'm
no,
real
no, no,
anyway.
No, no. Now I'm, like, worse than Austin. Like, I could drink and rally, but I don't think I could rally now.
This is so irrelevant, but you know Austin, the other night we were out, I was out until the fucking clocks changed with Brad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this motherfucker was out.
I had
work the next morning. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what it is, man.
I didn't take my Adderall today, if you haven't noticed, everyone.
Yeah,
I need to put my battery back in my clock.
What kind of fucked up clock is that? Are you living
Bro,
in steampunk?
Bro, you steampunk.
It's my clock. I got it for free at an estate sale.
Okay, if you got it for free, that makes sense. That's worth
it. Yeah,
that's
fine then.
I'm
okay,
just going to sit
so,
here and manually crank it around to 6 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm amazing.
So, to wrap this up, there is one last thing I want to talk about here. So, the only time... Stop doing that. It's picking up on the mic.
Is it? I'm sorry.
No. The only time primates paint of their own volition is with their own shit.
Okay.
I think I may have talked about this before, but it is a stereotypic behavior, an abnormal stress behavior for primates to get their own poop in their hands and smush it around on a surface. I was Googling this to remember the term I was thinking of, and I found this guy who brought a monkey, a capuchin monkey named Picasso, onto a talk show.
That's what he's Pablo Picasso. Oh.
Yeah. And
they do call him Pablo the monkey. They don't call him
so
Picasso.
Named because he paints on the wall with his feces. Now, I want you all to open this video, and okay. On the count of three, we'll play it from the beginning, and I'll just say when to stop. But I think we should watch it live and like have it on the screen, too, because this is just such a fucking awkward video. Okay.
Tell me when
to
start.
Three, two, one, go.
All right.
Oh, my God!
She's very surprised by this monkey.
Okay.
Listen, that's
interesting. You smiled at me.
Hi, buddy.
Hi.
All right. Well, this is Pablo.
Hi, Pablo.
And Pablo is a capuchin monkey, one of the most intelligent of all primates. They're super smart.
I don't know why people say
Pablo
that. It's all monkeys
pet.
Are
and
intelligent.
And I can't emphasize
anyway.
Enough
I was wondering about
that primates do not make good pets. They could be messy, they could be aggressive.
Yeah, so true, lady. Yeah,
she
knows.
His full name is Pablo Picasso.
Oh my God.
Because he likes to paint with his feces. And he will paint.
Jennifer Hudson looks different every time you see it.
He will paint the walls with his feces. Fat.
Wow. So you're saying that's what Picasso did?
Yeah, now they're,
and sometimes she looks like she's 23.
And then these people decide this is just too much. But they're intelligent animals. They use primitive tools like stones to break open nuts to acquire food. And if, did you ever play baseball?
By the way, that
I did play
baseball.
You did. So he will play catch with you.
Mm. Pablo.
Pablo. Come here, buddy.
This part's funny.
Need you on the,
that's right. Be watchful.
I think they need you on the Angels this year. Here you go.
Throw it back.
Oh, all right. Well.
Carrie, you try.
Well, I got to throw it.
Come on, buddy.
I don't remember playing baseball like this where the other player.
He's trying to rip so hard, but this monkey is just giving nothing.
Here, let's see. He doesn't want to.
Did I get too excited?
You don't want to play catch? Here, Pablo.
She's like trying to make something interesting happen. It's just, that's just not
happening. Yeah, Dave, you really taught him well.
Does he have much of a baseball career?
Yeah, got his ass.
Let's see. Jack, do you have some treats for him?
Come on, Joel.
Let's see. Do you want, here, have a blueberry. That's a good treat for you. There you go.
Is that good?
Try throwing this to him.
All right, Pablo, let me.
Now, capuchins are found in Latin America.
There you go.
You got it.
Oh,
you got a fucking fruit.
They're highly social animals. There you go.
Wow. He did that. I got another one for him.
He did that. That's right.
You can't do that. You can't make that voice. You can't do that voice. You can't do black skin, buddy.
I got it.
Two for three. Now, capuchins are omnivorous, so they eat birds' eggs and small vertebrates like frogs and lizards. And, so they have a very.
Can you let us throw a lizard? Okay. Kiwi back out here.
I'm gonna hang out for a little bit longer.
How long does Pablo live?
To be fair,
these monkeys are very long-lived. They can live into their 50s.
I just realized that I was doing like the Japanese apology
now.
Thing.
He's 23.
So he's going through his
he's
midlife.
23.
Yeah, he's like midlife.
He's got a beer belly, I can see.
Okay. Is there anything else here? You said you were going to stop it and then we watched the entire fucking video. But it was
fine with this. I'm still watching.
Okay, we don't want that. We're going to take a break.
So,
if you like this video, smash that.
If you like this video,
to the Jennifer Hudson Show.
See, now you're doing it.
I'm not doing it. I'm just doing YouTuber voice.
I wasn't trying to mock her voice. I was just playfully mirroring her.
And don't forget to sign up for the newsletter.
You were playfully disrespecting black women.
You know what?
Black women, I'm sorry that I'll own. I own up to it. That was my bad. I'm sorry. My fault. But beyond being a horrifically awkward. No. Beyond being horrifically awkward, not to be like the snooty primate expert, beyond the bare minimum of stating, like, monkeys aren't good pets, this does feel like an irresponsible interview, just a little bit. Like,
people... How cute is this little guy? He can catch... You can play fetch with him!
You can play fetch with him, he's smiling at you, he's very cute, he's on a leash, we're on a talk show, we're having fun. But, like, I feel like people running these mostly unaccredited, sort of makeshift, quote-unquote, educational wildlife... quote-unquote rescue operations. I mean, they kind of are, because if you're rescuing them from being a pet, then yeah, whatever you're doing for them there is probably better than being a pet. But they do this thing where they have a monkey like do unnatural trained behaviors and generally act like a pet and act cute, but then they say, well, just make sure
you mean like learn language and
what?
I realize I'm not supposed to say the next part.
We swore a vow of silence. We will be leaving this up in the air for your interpretation.
Everyone at home can think about that, I guess.
We swore a vow of silence. We might as well have signed an NDA regarding this.
It's fucking ironclad, fellas.
Ironclad secret. No elaboration. Moving on. So, people running these kinds of operations like, have them do all these, like, goofy, silly, cute things, and then say, well, just make sure you keep in mind monkeys aren't good pets, as if that's, like, a magical phrase that absolves you of all responsibility for what you're showing these people. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, it's weird that he was talking about the fecal painting as if it's, like, a quirky trait that he has, because it is a very well-known stress-induced abnormal behavior. Although I do think the problem is that if he admitted that to the crowd, a bunch of people would be like, oh, why are you abusing the monkey then? But in his defense, just a little bit, while it is worrying because you want to eliminate all stereotypic stress behaviors by providing them with adequate enrichment in a proper environment, sometimes if a monkey has, say, spent the last 20 years of its life as a pet being tortured psychologically, it's just going to be fucked up in the head and continue doing it forever, no matter how much enrichment and toys you give them. So, you know, I think it's worth mentioning that instead of being like, oh, he's so funny, he paints with his poop. But yeah, no, this guy is, not to call him out, not to dox him, but this is David Reichert of the Wildlife Learning Center in California.
I don't think you're doxing him. He was on TV.
Yeah.
That's not
basically one of those operations that I feel like in another time period would just be a roadside zoo, but in our
because of woke,
its claim to legitimacy is that it's, you know, trying to be a sanctuary that's open to the public and charges admission, kind of like a roadside zoo. But
I don't even see Pablo on their website. They've got all their other animals.
Yeah, it seems like his thing is that he goes around to talk shows to, like, show animals and say a couple of facts about them, and that serves as advertising for a sanctuary. I mean, like, it's whatever at the end of the day. Like, we don't have government-run, super ultra-giga welfare animal centers. You know, when pet primates get confiscated or exotic pets in general, they're either going to get killed or sent to a place like this. So I'm sure it's a suitable operation, and I know a lot of you listeners out there are in California, I'm sure. So, you know, go check them out and tell us what you think. Leave us a voicemail if they're good or not.
Speaking of voicemails, you gotta do voicemails soon.
I realized I don't have the login anymore. Austin does.
The voicemail login?
Yeah, isn't it on your own email now?
Yeah. Well, it's been an hour. I think we could save
the
voicemails.
Is this the bonus or is this the main feed?
This is the main feed episode.
I don't got to do voicemails this episode.
We can do voicemails later.
Folks, if you haven't called in before, we would love to hear your voice. Call into the show and we will listen to your voicemail live on air next episode that's coming out in like 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah. Although we do have, we've been on a really good guest appearance streak here, and I think we've got another special treat lined up for you guys.
I think we do. I think we'll
let you know.
I think there's a new guest. Guess who it's going to be, everybody? That's right.
It's Jane Goodall.
That's right. Vladimir Zelensky.
It's Vladimir. That's a different guy. Anyway.
Vladimir? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, his name is Vladimir.
Yeah, that's why I didn't put all the O's in there and shit.
I don't like that.
You can't.
Okay, anyway.
We're getting Pete Hegseth on the show, everyone. We're drinking Yinglings
okay,
and we're talking more.
Our voicemail number is 803-620-4332. That is 803-620-4332.
Call now and be the lucky 500th caller.
You would make a really good cunty lesbian in a call sign. You know that?
You can't say that.
Yeah, I can.
What do lesbians do?
Before we go, everyone.
I would never call a lesbian.
Make a call out host.
Before we go, everyone, follow Red Connections, all right? Mussolini Part 2 coming out before this episode.
Is that not
out
yet?
No, it's coming out today.
Oh, okay.
So today, March 9th, Mussolini Part 2 is out. So go check that out. Check out the pod. It's a good one. And most importantly, beyond all of this, we need money! Please!
We do need money. We need money so bad.
So, you know, if you're feeling like you want to tell your friends and family and maybe up your own fucking game, you know.
Put your money where your
mouth is. I'm actually good again. I no longer care about money anymore. Everything is back in its rightful order.
Are you saying
Austin is working for like slave wages? Greg is unemployed. And I'm finally like not stressed about money again.
Are you not stressed because you don't care anymore?
No, I've got my problem solved. I don't gotta pay my full mortgage anymore.
Why not?
I got somebody living with me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the
I'm taking roommate applications, Austin. If you'd like to,
I'm gonna
live
become
in this
poly just so I have to pay less money in rent.
I've been saying this. I've made a tweet about this. I'm gonna just move to California and join a polycule and wait and see how long it takes for them to realize that I'm not a woman and that I'm not paying rent. How long do you think I could make
probably
it realistically?
Like 3 days. Them bitches
7 months if you really fucking try.
Really?
If you do all the cleaning, maybe you get a little longer. But I think immediately they're all cheap fucking broke asses themselves. They're gonna be like, we got to split the rent the 17th way.
See, here's the thing you got to do is have to be cooking big curries, leaving it on the stove for everybody to eat. You got to be cleaning, and you have to.
I'm going
to
be the only one doing the dishes, and I'm going to be load bearing at that point. They won't be able to get rid of me.
I'll be real. I got all the ingredients to make sombre except for the fucking powder. So I'm going to go get the goddamn powder.
You can literally just put whatever the fuck you want in there.
I'm not going to put meat in it. But can I put tofu in it? Did you put tofu in it?
No, you can't put meat in there. Why would you put meat in there?
Did you put tofu in it?
South Indian. Yeah, if you want, I guess. Why not?
I don't know.
You can
get some paneer. Get some paneer while you're at the
paneer. That's the word I was looking for. Was paneer?
Oh, paneer is not tofu, even kind of.
what's the kind of tofu? Isn't there a kind of Indian version of like?
I think it's probably paneer.
Paneer is cheese.
I know paneer is cheese. It's high in protein though.
Oh, there's like tempeh, but that's not Indian.
Yeah, I think tofu would be good in it though.
Yeah, sure. That's some tofu there. Why not?
I think that was episode 96 of Gorilla Radio Show.
I think so.
I'll see y'all next time. Bye-bye.
See you next time.
Hit the outro. And then the outro plays.
Okay.